Things are not always the way we perceive them. In fact, I'd like you to look at this diagram with me. And let me ask you the question. How much longer is line A than line B? The fact is, they only look different when they're really the same. This is why we need the scriptures. Because we look at things, and from a different perspective, they look differently. And especially is this true of marriage. A man looks at marriage, a woman looks at marriage, they may see the same thing totally different. But the Bible is accurate. Every word of God is pure, like silver tried seven times in the fire. Well, here's another one. Look at this. And I ask you, what do you see when you look at this? If you look at the white part, that is, if you focus on the white part of this diagram, you'll probably see a candle holder and a candle burning at the end of it. Or if you focus on the dark part of it, you'll see two people facing each other, getting ready for a fight, speaking ugly to one another. You see, perspective means everything. Now, when it comes to marriage, God doesn't want misunderstandings. He doesn't want us to have differing points of view. He wants all the issues settled. That's why he has given seven specific instructions for wives and seven specific instructions for husbands. And by the way, the instructions for the wife are always counterbalanced by a different instruction for the husband. There's a her part and a his part. When we get both parts, his and hers, put together properly, it will equal a whole proper marriage relationship. Wholeness. No parts missing by either one. That means the possibility of success really exists. All aspects will be covered. Now, we already have learned this, that there are, here it is on the diagram, seven instructions for wives and seven instructions for husbands. And the last time we were together, we learned the first instruction for a wife was to learn to suffer. And then we also learned that the man is also to learn to suffer. And only in this first one of the seven, are they the same? So important is the learning to suffer to the success of a marriage that God gave both specific instructions to both the wife and the husband. Learning to suffer, in fact, is the first attribute of love. In the 13th chapter of Corinthians, love suffers, remember, long and is kind back to the one who is the cause of the suffering. Now today, here's what we want to learn. We want to learn the second instruction for wives, and here it is. Learn to follow your husband. And what is the counterpart instruction for husbands? Here it is. Learn to lead your wife. Wives are to learn to follow. Husbands are to learn to lead. What we want to do is cover the first aspects. Learn to follow your husband, and men learn to lead their wives and their children. So let's learn what the scripture says about this. How do wives learn to follow their husbands? It's so necessary to learn this that in all three passages, there are three Bible passages, Colossians 3, Ephesians 5, and chapter 6 partly, and also 1 Peter chapter 3. These are the three primary passages that address husband and wife issues. And in all three of these passages, God gives this same instruction to the wives in all three passages. Not only that, but it's interesting to note that God always gives the instruction to the wife before he gives the instruction to the husband. And so we're going to learn the reason for that upcoming. So let's look at these scriptures. Here we go. Wives, here it is. Follow the leadership of your own husband. Submit. Now, I didn't want to use that word because this verse has been so misused, but I want you to look at the scripture again with me. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands because this is fit in the Lord. Now, watch here. Wives, follow the leadership. That's what it means. Follow the leadership of your own husbands. And I want you to notice this word own, because we're not to follow someone else's husband, not another man, our own husbands. There's a great danger in submitting to a man other than your own husband. Loyalty is to be to your own husband. Don't set up a competition between the leadership of your husband and the leadership of any other man. Only get counsel from your own husband. If he doesn't know the answer, let him ask a pastor. Then he can share it with you, and that way you both get the answer. You grow together, not separately and apart. Now, let's look at the next passage. Here again, wives, submit yourselves unto, notice this word again, own husbands. Look at this now, as unto the Lord. It is impossible to have a right relationship with God and a wrong relationship with your husband. It was like the people of Israel trying to have a right relationship with God and a wrong relationship with Moses, or vice versa. The two go together because the husband is delegated God's authority. Now, watch the next verse, because this is where the scriptures mandate, if you please, his leadership. Here it is. For the husband is the leader of the wife. He is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the leader of the church, the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Now, I want you to slow down with me and look at this verse one more time. The husband is the leader of the wife, even as Christ is the leader of the church. Men are to lead their wives and their families, the children, and they're not only lead, but look at this. He is the savior of the body. This man should not only be leading his wife, but he should be watching out for her best interests and protecting her from dangers. Now, I know it's contrary to the spirit of our age, but if a man and a wife, a husband and a wife, have equal leadership and equal headship, great damage will occur to the children. Here's why. The scripture says, no man can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other, cling to the one, or despise the other. You see, no man can serve two. There has to be one leader. God made it the man. Now, that doesn't mean that a woman can't give advice to her husband if she does so in properly following the scriptural principles of appeal, which we'll learn on another occasion. But the husband is to be the leader. Look at the next verse. Therefore, as the church is under the leadership of Christ, subject to Christ, so let wives be under the leadership of their, again, this word, own husbands in everything. You see, in the same way that each of us yields to the leadership of Christ in our lives, if we're genuine Christians, so a wife is to yield to the leadership of her husband. And every woman should know this about marriage long before she marries. You see, if you marry him, you have to follow his leadership. That's why you need to check out before you marry him where he's going, before you make commitments to marry. There are several things you should find out. A woman needs to find out what's the man's direction in life before you marry him, because you're supposed to be his helpmate. And if he doesn't know where he's going, how can you help him get there? Secondly, you need to verify his character and his values before you marry him. And your father should help check this out. And thirdly, you need to verify his leadership abilities before you marry him, because you're turning yourself over from the leadership of your father to the leadership of a husband. Marriage should not be made as a glandular decision under the guise of love. By the way, don't marry someone because you think you can dominate him or get your own way. Because after a while, you won't like what you have chosen. Because God designed it, the man to be the leader, the wife to be the follower. Let's look at one more passage. Likewise, ye wives, look at here it is again. Be under the leadership, be in subjection to you. And look at, again, this word appears, your own husbands. Remember, watch here, let me just clear this a moment. This likewise word back here is the word that ties back to the verses before, which were about suffering. And ladies, here is the greatest source of suffering, if you please, that a wife gets to experience. What is it? Staying under the authority of her husband is a tough job. Staying under his leadership. Accepting what seems as his limitations. How then is this difficult process possible? How can you follow the leadership of your husband? Now, fortunately, this 1 Peter chapter 3 passage gives wives the specific details of what it takes to follow your own husbands. And so we're going to look at, here are the instructions. Ready? Get them down. Number one, follow him. The subject is how to follow your husband's leadership. Follow him even if he's not following the ways of the Lord. Now that may astound you. I want you to see it in the scriptures. Look at this. Likewise, you wives, be under the leadership of your own husbands. Now watch this. That if your husband does not obey the word of God, that, look at this, he may, without the word of God, be won. You can win your husband by the conduct that you, the wife, has. You will never win him by rebellion or by usurping his authority or being assertive with him, except in those specific areas of authority that have been given to you. You never win him by rejecting or by competing for the role of leadership. You do not want that job anyhow, because if you take over his job in one area, he may desert his responsibilities altogether. Follow him even if he's not following the Lord. Now, get ready. Do not miss this next, because there's a warning that goes with this. Look at this now. This is true except when a husband asks you to do something contrary to the plain laws of God or of Scripture. In other words, it must be obvious. He's asking you to sin. He's asking you to do something that's contrary to the Scriptures. Now, this happened in the Bible, and this is how we know the answer. Look at this Scripture. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, here's the hitch now, because you must be very careful to maintain a submissive or obedient spirit while caringly communicating to him that you would like to please him, but you're unable to do his request because you would bring the wrath of God on both of you. Let your emotions convey your loyalty, even though you're unable to compromise. Don't condemn or degrade him. Leave the convicting of him up to the one whose responsibility that is and who does it best, the Holy Spirit. Be willing to joyfully accept any consequences. What a strong, silent influence you will be, and he will be won. Follow his leadership, even if he's not following the Lord, except if he asks you to do something contrary to Scripture, and even then, our attitude must be submissive and obedient. Step number two, from the Scripture, to follow your husband, secondly, let him see your pure behavior. Look at this next phrase. He may be won, look at this, while he beholds, or they, plural husbands, behold your chaste conversation or the testimony of your life. Let him see your behavior. Number three, the next thing the Scripture says, not only do they behold your chaste conversation, but they see your conduct coupled with fear. Let him notice your caution, your trepidation, your fear of the Lord. See, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but the fear of the Lord brings riches, honor, and life. Let him see your fear about the Lord. And then number four, don't emphasize outward adornment. These are steps this passage gives us on how to follow the Lord. Look at this now. Who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, a wearing of gold, the putting on of apparel. Now, this verse has been wrongly used to suggest that messy hair is okay and that jewelry and nice clothes are wrong. The intent of this verse is that the outward cosmetic appearance should not be emphasized to the exclusion of the development of inward character. Well, how do we know that's the plain meaning of this verse? And it's because God endorses, if you please, the use of specific jewelry. Look at this scripture. Look at this now. And I put a jewel, this is God speaking, on your forehead, look at this, and earrings in thine ears. I've heard people say that if you wore earrings, they were the devil's stirrups. That's not what Scripture says. It says that God puts earrings in your ears. And a beautiful, look at this, crown upon thy head. I know of no Scripture, by the way, that we should pierce the body anywhere other than the ears. The wearing of rings, piercing other parts of the body, is pagan in its origin. By the way, marking the body, tattooing, is also forbidden by Scriptures because our bodies are the Lord's. Scripture says, therefore, glorify God in your body, which is the Lord's. Now, if you don't have a tattoo, don't get one. If you have one from your non-Christian years, don't add any more. And when it gets noticed by someone else, use it to witness of how you once were lost without God and His Word, but now you've found the Lord and you're living a principle-based life. Now, watch, because the Scripture goes on to say that God also endorses fine food and clothing. Look at this. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and your clothing, your raiment, was linen and broidered work. Thou didst eat, look at this, fine flour and honey and oil. Next verse, look at this. And thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper. I want you to know that God loves beauty. Somebody was contemplating recently, why did God make woman? Why did God make Eve? One fellow said, well, after making Adam, he stood there and looked at him and hummed and hawed and pondered a bit and said, you know, I think I can do better than this. And then he made Eve. He made the woman. He certainly did make her to be a thing of beauty. God wants a woman beautiful. And he even suggests in this allegory that he wants her to have earrings and to look good. Now watch this. Next verse, and thy renown went forth among the heathen. Look at this, for thy beauty. Now watch it, because God's involved in making a woman beautiful. Watch it now. For it was perfect, look at here, through my comeliness. Now watch this, which I put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Beauty that includes the development of God's inward character in our life. God builds inward attractiveness, which adds the real sparkle to the limited adornment that He endorses. But, of course, there's a danger. Now, watch the next verse and see the danger. But you trusted in your own beauty. Forgot that God authored it, endorsed it, forgot that God added the sparkle by developing the inward beauty. You trusted in your own beauty. Now watch closely, because this is vitally important. Trust in beauty and popularity leads to acting like a harlot, looking like a harlot. A very popular look today, I might add. Look at this verse. But thou didst trust in thy own beauty, watch this, and you played the harlot because of your popularity. You see, acting like a harlot leads to a sensual focus. It's important how you dress. People dress the way they think, they feel the way they dress, and then they act the way they feel. Did you get that? People dress the way they think, they feel the way they dress, and they act the way they feel. Be careful. Because if we dress the wrong way and we lose the inward qualities of godliness and we end up acting like a harlot, you played the harlot, look at this now, you become a communicator to everyone who sees you of sensual things. Look at this now. You trusted in your own beauty, you played the harlot, Now watch this next phrase. And you poured out your fornications on everyone that passed by. And does it mean this woman did the sex acts with everybody that passed by? But watch this. Those who dress provocatively and sensually and immodestly in public, they pour out fornicating thoughts to everyone that passes by. Everyone. Everyone. You see, she that provokes to lust is guilty of the crime of which she is the guilty cause. Let me get to the sentence again. She who provokes to lust, who provokes to lust, is guilty of the crime of which she is the guilty cause. Well, what are the guilty crimes? Crimes of adultery, crimes of fornication. And by the way, they're no longer a crime in our law books, but they once were. Our lack of laws today is simply an indication of the demoralizing of the entire society. God intends that marital love be kept in marriage. Keep your sensuality inside your marriage. Keep your sensuality exclusive to your husband. Notice, look at this last part of this scripture. She poured out her fornication on everyone that passed by. Look at this phrase it ends with. His it was. It was God that gave beauty, but then that beauty got perverted and misused, sensually focused, and thus fornication enters the thoughts of everybody who sees that person. That's why God wants you to be beautiful, but with a character match. Now let's get back. Here's what we've learned. Learn to follow Him, even if He's not following the Lord. Let Him see your pure behavior. Let Him notice your cautious trepidation. Don't emphasize outward adornment. Number 5. Develop the inward character. Look at this. But let your adornment be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible. Isn't that good? Even the ornament of a, look at this, of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price, is not corruptible. Meekness and quietness of spirit, which is of great price in the sight of God, you see? It takes humility to be the follower and not the leader, the child and not the parent, the student and not the teacher, the wife and not the husband. Develop inward character. How to follow your husband? Follow the example of godly women of the Bible. Look at this next scripture. For after this manner, in the old time, holy women trusted in God. Look at this. Who trusted in God? They adorned themselves. Look at this. What was the adornment? Being in submission to their own husbands. Look what's in this verse. How do you follow the example of godly women of the Bible? Here we are. Number 1, be holy. Number 2, trust in God. Trust that God will work through you to reach your husband. Trust that God will adjust your husband because you stay right where you should under His authority. It takes trust in God. And then adorn yourself with submission to His leadership. The following, that's an adornment. That's what's beautiful in a woman. Not one who's cantankerous and out of control and belligerent. You see, in the Bible, it says the glory of the children is the father. It says the glory of the man is his wife. You know what the glory of the woman is? The covering for her head, or that which it symbolizes, which is her submission to the leadership of her husband. Then the scripture says, gives us an illustration. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him the boss, whose daughters ye are, as long as, now watch this, 7th one, be consistent in spite of his seeming reaction. Even as Sarah, look at this, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are, as long as you, look at this, do well, and look at, keep doing well, and don't be afraid, regardless of his reactions, don't be afraid of the amazing things he will do. He may do some absolutely weird things. You just stay consistent, keep following him. What are these? Again, how do you follow your husband? Follow him even if he's not following the Lord. Let him see your pure behavior. Let him notice your caution. Don't emphasize outward adornment. but instead develop inward character qualities. Substance will always win over pretense. And then follow the example of godly women of the Bible. And then seventhly, be consistent regardless of his reaction. You see, in like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Listen to this translation. Subordinate yourselves as being secondary to and dependent upon them, and adapt yourself to them, so that even if any do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together with your reverence for your husband. You are to feel for him in all that reverence includes, to respect, defer to him, revere him, to honor him, esteem him, appreciate, prize, and in a human sense, to admire him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. These are the scriptures that teach a woman not only to follow her husband, but exactly the seven steps of how to follow your husband. The next time that we get time together, we're going to deal with the counterbalancing truth for husbands. Because if the wife is to follow, the man must know how to lead. You see, there's always a counterbalancing truth. The hardest thing for a woman is to follow someone who is not leading. And that's why, as soon as possible, I want us to learn together the other side of the story for men. How to lead your wife. How to lead your family. And when we do that, we are going to learn the 9 Bible laws of leadership on how a man can lead his wife and lead his children. Because if both sides do what they're supposed to do, the wife following the man leads, we know that God's design will lead to perfect success.